Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. We have spent the last 2 weeks and dedicated the last 2 weeks on our programs here trying to update the information on the activities and the tremendous work of the Irish in helping out numerous areas of devastation wrought by Hurricane Sandy. I'm delighted to welcome Peter Ryan, who is the Deputy Consul General. Indeed, his portfolio includes economic and public affairs at the Consulate General of Ireland in New York. And Peter, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian.
You know, we have, again, over the last couple of weeks, we have talked briefly about the Irish consulate and its ability to coordinate a lot of efforts that are in devastated areas, including Long Beach and Gallatin Beach in Brooklyn. And but I think it should be no surprise that one of the hardest hit areas in the New York area has been the Rockaways. And as of today, the Rockaways are far from having restoration of power, of having commitments to help them out in the immediate future. And indeed, there aren't that many who are assuring the Rockaways that they are not a forgotten people. To that end, through your own spearheading, Irish Day of Action is coming upon us. How did that come about? How long have you been thinking about it?
Thanks, Adrian. It came about because we were watching and were engaging with the Irish and Irish American communities as they responded in a particularly Irish way, I think, and in a very real way, a real action-orientated way to what had happened. And we saw at first hand ourselves the centres, which are in part supported by the Irish people. We saw the
well
way...
Well supported, if I may add.
Well supported, but I think it demonstrates the significance and the importance of those centres and the excellence of the services they give.
Mm-hmm.
That they were able to continue with their existing services for seniors, for Meals on Wheels, for people who are looking for legal advice and legal services.
Mm.
In addition to that, they really became the hubs of activity for their local communities to give support to the affected areas.
Mm-hmm.
So we were obviously trying to support that in whatever small way that we could, by helping to get the word out to the broader Irish community in the city and in the boroughs that we would know very well. And that would include large parts of the Irish American community, for example, who might not otherwise be engaged with the work of the centres. So we were trying to do what we could to make sure to people, look, don't jump in your car and try and arrive out in Breezy Point to help. Go to one of the centres where the work was being coordinated, the types of donations that were being made was being coordinated, and there were experts, if you like, in charge of coordinating that. And arising from that, we thought it would be wonderful, because there are so many active Irish organisations in this city, we thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to try to draw on the goodwill that's there and people's wish to do something, to make a difference.
Right.
We have so many different groups that are already doing something. This is not substituting what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is hopefully complementing that
and
bringing it to a whole new group of people who literally say, for that day, for one single day, I will go out there And I will show my solidarity by physically going out there to help. And we have been really fortunate in the response that we've received to that so far.
I noticed you avoided the word inundated, but the turnaround, considering that the very first meeting to try to establish a first effort, and let us point out, friends, that whereas this is an Irish day of action, whereas it is the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, there are an equal number of people who say, we can't do that Saturday because we have made commitments because of the weekend that's in it. This is a kickstart to something that will be needed for quite some time, and that a great number of people who are not available next Saturday will not want to be shut out. So they will do it. Is the consulate prepared to continue coordinating these efforts?
I think we're facilitating the coordination of it,
okay,
Adrian. And what's happened is that there are groups all across this city, such as the Emerald Guild, the mm-hmm. Building Managers Groups, the AOH, the GAA Networks, mm-hmm. the Business Networks, the Ireland Fund. There's a whole range of partners involved in this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
The experts are the Irish Centres. They're
absolutely
the experts.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They're taking the lead on this initiative. What we're doing is helping to facilitate that all of the groups come and get involved. So if people want to donate the following week, or if people want to come back and volunteer the following mm-hmm. week, we will continue to do that. And what we're really trying to do is to communicate what's already going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we have companies of people who have been going out every single day to the Rockaways. And we are, I think it's a wonderful boost to them.
Right.
That they'll see, hopefully, coach loads and bus loads of people coming out saying, what can I do to help today? We're here, and we're here for the long term. And the recovery effort is a long-term effort. And it's a really small little thing. And to be honest, I think one of the things that people said was, it's a nice way to work off the Thanksgiving turkey
mm-hmm.
as well, to come out and to spend a little bit of time. And right. even when the Mehel takes place in Ireland, the Mehel is for the community. And it doesn't matter what faith people are, what background people are, or anything else. It's mm-hmm. a community-based exercise, as you know better than me. And there's no better evidence of that than in New York, where we live side by side with people of all different faiths,
mm-hmm.
colours, ethnic backgrounds, and what do the Irish do? They thrive here.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that whether it's through the building manager guys and all the different networks mm-hmm. here who have literally reached out to the communities that have been most affected. They haven't asked them, where are you from or anything else. They're not mm-hmm. interested in that. This city is in it together, and if we can help play a very small role in doing that, we will do so. I should add that the Irish publications in the city absolutely. And the Irish media in the city have literally been fabulous, the way that they've given a voice to people who have been affected
mm-hmm.
and the way I think that they've dealt with the news and they've covered the news in a really very thoughtful way.
Right.
And they've really, really, I think, touched. We've heard so many positive reports about the way that things have been covered and so on here by the organisations in the city.
Right.
And I'd like to thank yourself and Anya and everybody involved here as well for that, because I think that's been very important for people.
Deputy Council General Peter Ryan, first of all, thank you. One of the aspects, and this indeed preceded the recent disaster in New York, which was unprecedented, Irish centres have earned a reputation of being of service to the community. Many friendships, Many, though, it is, you know, the Emerald Isle and Ashling and the New York Irish Center, many would feel, well, that's fine. They're great and they're catering to their own. That's not so. It is, obviously, the germ has been, and the establishment was to help the Irish originally when there was tremendous need from immigrants for immigration reform, for all of that. However, the reputation that the centres have gained is that maybe an Irish person comes in, but they know of somebody who is less fortunate. They know of somebody, again, colour, race, creed doesn't matter. And that type of service and cooperation is something that we ought to be very proud of.
I think there's a lot of people should share in that pride, because a lot of people have supported the centres over a long time.
Yeah.
I'll give you three examples. The New York Irish Centre, I was there with my family a couple of Sundays ago, and donations were arriving all afternoon. A couple of people arrived from the National Cancer Society of New York, National Cancer Society of the US.
Right.
They had intended to run the marathon for cancer survivors. They changed their mind, they had a little run, and then they ran to Costco, where they filled the car up with batteries and torches and things like this. The two young women who arrived from Costco had a car full of goods. They were both of Italian extraction. They found the New York Irish Centre on Facebook, and they said, we like the sound of what it is you're doing, and we came along. Second example, the Emerald Isle Irish Centre quadrupled the number of daily meals on wheels it provides to seniors. It went from 25 to 100 meals a day. They didn't ask people. They went and knocked on doors, where in an apartment block where the lights were gone, the power was gone, the water was gone. The third example is in the Ashling Centre. At the same time as the Ashling Centre is coordinating donations and teams of volunteers, it's also continuing with its other work. It's continuing with its work with regard to other issues and local issues where it's located. That's a huge demand on these centres. They're trying to do their everyday task, and then they're dealing with this 24/7. So any help we can give in any small way is fabulous.
Obviously, in a time of crisis and time of disaster, and particularly when we don't have what we think is our God-given right of communication and no power, no heat, no light, and mostly relying on word of mouth for those who are in areas like that. We, not just the Irish, but many people are getting mixed messages. First, those who are homeless obviously needed clothes. They needed food. They needed water. They needed the very things that we get up to every day that are there. Furniture. They needed whatever. And then we were told, okay, enough with the clothes already. The generosity of not only the Irish centres, but other areas came, through. So one said, okay, well, let's take that one off the list. It is very difficult to get the message across that there's still a need for gloves. There's still a need for hats. There is, use your own imagination with respect to that. Many people who are there have nothing, absolutely nothing. So when you hear batteries are needed, which we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks here, shovels and brooms and wheelbarrows or whatever, that's only touching the surface. And I'm sure that there are many people who look at television, and obviously there is the reality of life is that there are, you know, political implications that are forced to come to the fore. What governments are doing, what the Red Cross are doing, what the varied charitable organizations are doing. And one might sit back and say, they have everything. What more do they want?
Well, I think that's a fair point. I think it is a very complicated situation. I think needs do change. I think we're very fortunate in that we have very strong relationships on the ground there.
Mm-hmm.
We've exceptionally good local contacts and local knowledge, and we have people who've been working there since the day after Sandy struck. We also have reached out to City Hall and to the Speaker's office.
Mm.
She's been very helpful. Her people on the ground have been very helpful to us. We're not going to be able to fix the huge situation with regard to supplies. All we can do is try to address in a very small way and in a modest way. And frankly, it's as important to be there with people. And the phrase they say is, Iscaw Cailleau Warren Midge. We all live in each other's shadow. And I think to be able to go to an area like this as a community, physically to go out to somebody, I think it'll be very good and rewarding for the people who are going out. Not, you know, our reward is the fact that we'll get a chance to give something back for this city, which has given so much to the Irish, and to the way in which it's kind of inspiring the way the city has responded to Hurricane. I had heard about the 9/11 response, but I think until you've come through it, you don't see it. We see these guys who we know well, friends of ours in the fire department, the police department, the sanitation department.
They're just stunning. First responders.
It's stunning. The work is stunning. And they're calling us saying, can we help you? Do you want information? So people can help. People can help the centres as well, establish ways to help. We're not cutting across any of that. What we're doing is going to be there as a moral and practical support, which with our shovels, we'll bring our sweeping brushes, we'll bring our work gloves, and we'll bring our own sandwiches. So we're not going to be a hindrance on anybody. We're going to be a help. We're not going to be getting in anybody's way.
Right. Okay. We also should point out that there's great emphasis and great reports on those who will climb stairs, those who will go into the areas that were generally referred to as the projects that don't have elevator service, that don't have everything. That may leave a great number of people who are not in fit condition, or in fact wouldn't even if they were. People like myself, I've given up climbing even four flights of stairs because I served my time when I came to this country first, much less 20. But there are people who say, but what'll I do when we go down there? Well, obviously, the question has been answered because those who have committed to going already are not all young athletes. You have
people in
every age group who will go down. They'll find something to do.
There are going to be people. Look, it's Thanksgiving Saturday.
Mm.
So we understand that people are with families, people have other commitments, people might be out of town. There's lots of ways people can help. They can help to spread the word about it.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell people who might be in a position to go, this is what's going on. They can communicate to them that so people are aware that this is happening. And if they can't come that Saturday, if they can't come the next Saturday, this thing is going to be long term. These areas are going to need our help in the long term and our solidarity. We mustn't forget any of them. While we're going to the Rockaways, this isn't to suggest for 1 minute that we won't also be trying to see ways in which we can help in Staten Island, in Long Beach, Breezy Point. We're just as aware of the issues that these communities are facing.
And the Brooklyn, obviously.
And Brooklyn, very much so. We have some excellent contacts there, and we will be ensuring that if we can help in a small way there, we will.
We have shown in the recent past what a mehel can do. And let me just stop for a moment, and I'll give you my version of what the mehel was since I grew up in rural Ireland at the foot of the Ox Mountains. And after the famine, after the horrific period of strife that people throughout Ireland had been through, there was a custom, and the custom was known as the mehel. The mehel was, with all due respect to Joe Byrne and those who are promoting the gathering for Ireland next year, the mehel was a gathering of people at a very small local level. People of a parish, break down the parish into the villages, work and farming, every aspect of farming from cutting turf to saving hay to the threshing of oats and all the rest. Everybody had a full-time job themselves, but they were aware of those who could not possibly do that. Many times widows, many times, widowers, many times families that had special needs, families, kids that, and without much organization, those who were already pretty much exhausted from doing their own work would show up and gave a new meaning to pro bono, because many of them, indeed, like you're doing next week, many of them brought their own sandwiches, many of them brought their own, and they just did without any ceremony whatsoever. They gave their help to somebody who needed it. They didn't do it for any recognition. They didn't do it for any form of compensation, monetary or otherwise. It was the thing to do.
Yeah, and that's very much what we're about. There's no fuss, absolutely no fuss about this. We just want to get the word out. If you can make it, you can make it. If you can't, there'll be other opportunities to help.
Right.
Please help. Please reach out. And please help us, some of these communities, rebuild.
Can we get again, since this is an Irish consulate as representing the government of Ireland, can we get information? How do we, do you have a website? Do you have a phone number? What is the best way for those, again, who may want to spread the word, who may not be available next Saturday, but definitely will know that on a future time, and, there are people who are needed every day of the week, whatever, but definitely next Saturday is Irish Day of Action in the Rockaways. There are other movements. The Irish centres are ahead of themselves in that they know that this is the beginning of a great demand which will be ongoing.
That's right. I think, well, first of all, every Irish organization in the city will be writing out to its members and will be updating their websites specifically with details of this. Secondly, at the moment, the Irish Day of Action in Rockaway can be found on a Facebook page.
Good.
Thirdly, you can phone Michelle. The number is New York number 212-684-3366, extension 127. That's 212-684-3366-127. Or you can reach out to your local Irish centre. You can reach out to the GAA. You can reach out to any organisation in the city. We'll have this information.
And it will be a success, friends. It will also, what we should ask the man who is spearheading this, and obviously Noel Kilkenny has not, who is the ambassador consul general of Ireland in New York, he's been known to roll up his sleeves. I'm sorry I actually missed that, because he was heading down in a lorry. We know that little vans and that the paddy wagon and several other even smaller local people who are involved in moving and contractors are, have donated their trucks, their staff and whatever. But what I would like to point out also is that the Irish centres are already known for the services they provide, and that organizations, the Irish Arts Centre, the Irish Repertory Theatre, people who are and have a great Rolodex of friends, many of them not Irish at all, many of them who appreciate the fact that the Irish know how to organize. We've done it before. We've done it with the Legalize the Irish campaigns. We have done it, it through the United Irish Counties for a century. We've done it through Emerald, the Emerald Guild, which is relatively new, but we also have Emerald Societies. We have many organizations, many of whom have also served and served well, and they know what the story is. Yeah,
that's right.
Not the word, but many of them are going.
We're blessed. We are blessed with the organisations we have.
Absolutely.
And it's the most powerful. It's the most powerful resource that we have here because of the trust, the credibility, the track record, and the experience that they have. Everybody from the AOH to another example right here in Manhattan. The Irish bars and restaurants
right.
have been in the front line of sending hot meals out, sending people out. People didn't need to be asked. They just arrived out there.
Right. Okay, you started by telling us that, you know, getting in your own car and hopping down there was not a great idea. So what is the alternative? How are you going to organize, or is there going to be transportation?
Transportation will be provided for people. The assembly points will be the Irish centres. We'll be assembling at before 6:30 a.m. on the 24th, on Saturday morning, the 24th of November, and there'll be transportation provided to and from the locations.
Will there be options for those who go down there and who say, you know, I can't spend the whole day. I want to know what I'm committing to here. Are you still working on?
We're still working on that. We would hope that people would commit themselves, hopefully until a 4 or 4:30 departure from the Rockaways. But listen, we'll be as helpful as we can. We understand people are busy. People have made prior commitments.
Right.
So we'll be trying to facilitate that. And I think when the Consul General was down there earlier this week, he ran into Irish guys who were arriving in there with a van full of generators and stuff. And, I mean, if these guys are taking time out from their work,
right.
the least we can do is be a little bit flexible for others as well. So that will be very much the mantra of the day. It'll be very relaxed. We'll be trying to make everybody feel as welcome as possible. And what a wonderful way for the members of all the different groups to meet one another, to network with each other, and hopefully cook up a few ways that we can all help going forward, because it's a long road to recovery.
Peter Ryan, Deputy Consul General, again in charge of economic and public affairs, the Consulate General of Ireland. It was a great idea, had you asked me during the week, if you could have a meeting one day in the Irish Consulate and get a room full of responders for the next day, I would have said that's not enough time. you ought to do this, give people a week to get together. And I would have been wrong again. Thank you for being here.
Birmingham,
and thank you for Augustus Hen.
Thank you for everything.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. You all have to do it.